Is there advice from Ronald Reagan for conservatives in exile? I mean that politically, in political exile. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Paul Kanger, who's a returning guest. He's a professor at Grove City College. He's a best-selling author. He writes terrific columns, and he wrote the classic book called God and Ronald Reagan. Dr. Kanger, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
It's always good to be with you, Jerry. Thanks.
Sure. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. You would say that Ronald Reagan was a perpetual optimist even when things were looking bad. Isn't that kind of true? He had kind of this Christian worldview that, look, in the end, God's side is going to prevail. The good will win over the bad.
Yeah, in fact, he used to tell this story about it. He called it the pony in the dung heap, right? And he this father who had two sons. One was an optimist and one was a pessimist, and he decided to do an experiment. So he took the two sons and he put them in a barn. He put the one son in a room full of toys, and the son was throwing toys around everywhere and crying and throwing a fit, saying, "There's nothing to play with in here. There's nothing to play with in here." And then he took the other son and he took him to a barn with a bunch of manure, and the kid was digging furiously through the manure. And the father said, "What are you doing?" And the kid said, "I know there's a pony in here somewhere," right? so they were, but one was an optimist, one was a pessimist. So Reagan was the optimist. In fact, he used to talk about Whitaker Chambers and how, you know, one of Reagan's favorite books. Reagan said his two favorite books were The Bible and Witness by Whitaker Chambers. And Chambers often said that he left the communist side, the Soviet side, for the right side, but albeit the losing side. And Reagan said, no. Whitaker Chambers left for the right side and the winning side. We're going to win. And so Reagan believed that about the Cold War. He believed that about life. And he believed that about the Republican Party and the conservative movement. He gave a speech at CPAC, Jerry, on his birthday. It was February 6, 1977. So at that point, he's still 4 years away from being inaugurated president. And he said there that what conservatives need is people of principle and principled conservatives, right? Conservative principles and principled conservatives. So he said we need to be principled. And he said conservatives also need to fuse both the social and the economic spheres. He said you shouldn't just be an economic conservative, but not a social or cultural conservative. He said, you need both halves. And Reagan believed that, you know, crucial to conservative victory was both halves, which is why he didn't shy away from issues like abortion. Even when his advisors would tell him, no, you can't take a strong pro-life position here. You're going to alienate the female vote. He had people like Jim Baker and Dick Darman and others telling him that. And Reagan said, no, it's important to be principled, a principled conservative. It's important to stand for life. And I believe that we can stand for life and we can win. And he did. He did just that.
Excellent. Well, how about if I read a couple of quotes one at a time from Ronald Reagan, and maybe you can, you know, make some commentary on them. You ready? All right, here's the first one.
Sure.
Government's first duty is to protect the people, not run their lives. Government's first duty is to protect the people, not run their lives. Wow. When I hear that and I'm thinking, okay, we see this open border. Well, they're not protecting the people. And then on the other hand, you turn around, you see all these regulations and they're trying to run our lives while failing at the number one thing the Constitution says that the government is for, which is to, you know, protect the people, defend the people.
Yeah, no, that's right. And Reagan also said, in fact, he said it in that Time for Choosing speech, October 27, 1964, he said that outside of its core legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as efficiently as the private sector of the economy. So he, you know, he really believed, you know, Reagan was not against government. In fact, in his famous line in his first inaugural, when he said government is not the problem. Oh, wait, I'm messing up the line. Government is
I've got it right in front of me.
Government is the problem.
Yeah, that it says government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Government is the problem. Government. Thank you. government is the problem. And then Reagan said right after that, so conservatives remember that, right? But he said right after that, he said, it is not my intention to do away with government. He also said the 9 most terrifying words in the English language, right, were I'm from the government and I'm here to help. But Reagan believed that government had its role, right? So he was not against government. He was not anti-government. He was against womb to tomb, cradle to grave, nanny state government. You know, government had its purpose. As a conservative, you're not to be anti-government. What you're supposed to be is for limited government. So Reagan said, again, outside of those legitimate functions, right? So that brings the question, what are the legitimate functions? What are the core functions? You know, what is it that government really ought to do? And it should do things like providing for the basic defense. You know, government can certainly do things like pave roads and you do certain types of things that maybe the private sector can't necessarily do as well. Although, really, frankly, I mean, the government ought to contract out to the private sector to do things like roads. But and Reagan also believed in, and this is something too, Jerry, I'd love for your listeners to remember this. There's a word, subsidiarity. Subsidiarity. It's very popular in Catholic social teaching, and Reagan knew it. Reagan knew that phrase, and he used that phrase, and that's the idea that whatever is closest to the problem ought to deal with the problem first. It could be private sector, it could be public sector, but if, you know, here I am, I'm in Grove City, Pennsylvania. If we have homeless people in Grove City, Pennsylvania, who should help the homeless first? Well, it should be the local soup kitchen. It should be the Methodist church in town that I just drove past. If not them, then the Presbyterian church or the Catholic church or the Little Sisters of the Poor or whoever. You know, then if all those groups don't work, well, then the borough. If the borough can't do it, then maybe the township. If the township can't do it, okay, then maybe the county. If the county can't do it, then maybe the state of Pennsylvania. But you only go to the federal government as a last resort because the federal government is the furthest away from the problem. So this idea of subsidiarity was start simpler, start at a more local basic level, and that's usually the best approach to it. We call that in federalism, really, right? The 10th Amendment. What, you know, the powers that do not belong to the government ought to go first and foremost to the states. So, that too was where Reagan was coming from.
And there's a lot of wisdom he had in terms of the economy and economics. But listen to this statement. How do you tell a communist? Well, it's someone who reads Marx and Lenin. And how do you tell an anti-communist? It's someone who understands Marx and Lenin. Again, these are quotes from Ronald Reagan. What a great quote.
Yeah, I'll give you another one since Reagan said communism works only in heaven where they don't need it and in hell where they already have it.
That is so good. And speaking of taxes and, you know, higher government, bigger government, Republicans believe every day is the 4th of July, but the Democrats believe every day is April 15th. Well,
it's so true. And he also said, I've noticed that everybody in favor of abortion has already been born.
Oh, what a classic line. I've used that many times. That is so true. And he also said, government's view of the economy could be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. He also noted, government does not solve problems, it subsidizes them.
Oh, it's so true. Well, and there's another line from the Time for Choosing speech. It said, the more the plans fail, the more the planners plan.
Oh, wow. Boy, is that a good point. Yeah. Here's something. Now, this is a very sober one. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We did not pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free.
That's right. So it's the duty of every generation to fight those battles anew. And you and I mean, we're both over the age of 50. Actually, not you, Jerry. You're under 50, right?
No,
I'm over 50.
No, I'm 66 in a couple months.
but I mean, you and I both, you know, here we are in the year 2022, and you and I both are once again making all these arguments against Marxism that you know, we thought we had this battle won in 1989. Right? 1991. You know, did we really need to be arguing against the Communist Manifesto all over again? Well, yeah, apparently so. And I, you know, I find that so many of the arguments that I thought were the craziest, most inane things that I ever heard and were forever, to borrow from Lenin, dispatched to the ash heap of history, I have to go through them again, over and over and over and over and over again, with every new 20-something that I meet, and frankly, amazingly, with oftentimes every 50-something that I meet. It just goes on and on and on, and it can be frustrating, it can be exasperating, but you know, here again, to borrow from Ronald Reagan, Reagan was this wonderful, cheerful warrior, and once again, going back to the October 1964 Time for Choosing speech, he gave that speech on behalf of Barry Goldwater, and Barry Goldwater was absolutely trounced in that election against LBJ. But it's often been said that, you know, that whole thing turned out to be sort of a sacrificial bid to you know, eventually get Ronald Reagan out there and get Ronald Reagan's face out there publicly so that Reagan could run again someday. And it's often been said that Goldwater was conservatism with a frown and Reagan was conservatism with a smile.
And
to add one more kind of wrinkle to this, I think where Donald Trump so terribly failed was Trump did not have Reagan's winsome personality. And I tell this to people all the time, Trump supporters, who would say, oh, what? You're bothered by the mean tweet? And I would say, listen, mean tweet or not, you like your boy, right? Oh, I love Trump. Okay, well, do you want him to win? Yeah. Okay, well, he needs over 50% of the vote. If he doesn't get it, your boy can't do all the magic that you want him to do. Right. So there's something to be said for, yes, being likable, because in politics, you have to get elected. And Ronald Reagan did that by winning 44 out of 50 states in 1980. And in 1984, he won 49 out of 50 states.
That's
twice won
amazing.
Not only California, but New York, New Jersey, even Massachusetts. So there's a lot to be said for somebody with who can match the attractive personality along with the attractive conservative message.
And let's close. We have about a minute and a half left on the thoughts of God. Reagan said, America is one nation under God. If we ever forget this, we'll be one nation gone under. So God and Ronald Reagan,
yeah.
About 1 minute.
Yeah, right on. And Ronald Reagan also said, Jerry, he said, I really fear for a nation that having been so blessed by God, what if that nation would turn its back on God after all of those blessings? And frankly, I fear that that's where we are right now. This nation that's been so richly blessed, we've turned our back on the God that's blessed us. And I fear God's wrath, retribution, or at the least, maybe not God's protection in quite the way that we had in the past. We are now in an era of post-Christendom in America where people are rejecting the very God that has blessed us so richly.
Mm. Well, Dr. Paul Kanger, always a pleasure. Your website at Grove City College is visionandvalues.org, as I recall.
Faithandfreedom.com.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that too.
Faithandfreedom.com. Also, I write regularly for American Spectator.
Excellent.
And spectator.org. You can get all my columns there.
Okay, Dr. Paul Kanger, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
All right, Jerry, anytime.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.